Good afternoon, brethren. I'm still always taken aback when I get a response, because where I work, nobody ever responds to when you greet them. So the title of our talk today is Philemon. I figure if we're going to go for a short talk, we'll go for the shortest book in the Bible, one of the shortest books in the Bible, except it doesn't work that way. There's always more than we can cover. So you have a part in what we're going to do today. In other words, we're not going to be able to complete all of the scope of the book. And so you have homework. That means you're going to develop the rest of it on your own. And hopefully you can feed us back what you found out so that we can make more sense of this excellent book that Paul wrote. We always wondered when we find things that are innocuous or unique in the Bible, why was that there in the Bible? Why was it necessary to have this book? Why this one letter doesn't really deal with doctrinal issues? It's not pastoral. It doesn't talk to a whole large community. It's about one person, and it's between two people. And yet we have it in the Bible, the most important evidence of God's grace to us that we have, physical evidence, is the Bible. And God has chosen to have this book be part of the Bible. And so that makes it compelling. When we figure that God has chosen to have us see this, it makes it compelling. It's almost undisputed as a book in the Bible. Several books in the Bible are disputed whether or not they belong in there. It's not disputed, mostly because it's cross-referenced with Colossians. And so we know that there is a tie in there with Colossians. And we know Paul wrote it because Paul mentions his own name three times in this one little epistle, 25 verses, and he mentions his name three times. Doesn't do that anywhere else to that level. So we know it's very compelling from that perspective. So we want to talk about just a general outline of what we want to follow today before our time runs out. Is we want to talk about why this letter was part of the Bible. We've sort of started talking about that. We want to talk about who the key personalities are, what the purpose of the letter is, and ultimately what lessons do we get out of this little epistle that's been given to us. So when we talk about why, my hope is as we course through this epistle, that the reason for it being here will become apparent to you. If it becomes apparent to you, then our work would be done. And would hope that the Lord blesses that effort. Because I think it's in the detail of the epistle that we figure out why we're given this to learn from. The key personalities in the book, obviously Paul, because he wrote it. And he writes it to Philemon. So that's another key personality, Philemon. Who is Philemon? But he also writes it about a person, a slave, Onesimus. So now we have three people. But they mention two people at the opening. They mention a couple of people. There's Apphia and there's Archippus. We think Apphia is the wife of Philemon because he refers to her as our sister. And then to Archippus, our fellow soldier, in the second verse. And to the church in your house. So we know that Philemon has a church that meets in his house. We think that's the Colossians. The Colossians actually met in Philemon's house, we think. And we know that Onesimus was one of them. How do we know that? In Philippians, in Philippians chapter, I believe it's chapter 4, verse 9, he refers to Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. Colossians chapter 4 verse 9. So the book is about these three personalities mainly, and we know that as a reference, Archippus is part of this conversation because he's an elder in the Colossae class. So he's an elder to the Colossians because he's cited also in Colossians and in the letter to Philemon. So what's the purpose of the book? Why is the book written? Why did Paul feel compelled to write? He writes essentially to ask for forgiveness and acceptance on behalf of a brother. the brother being Onesimus. Now, Onesimus was a slave. He was a slave to Philemon. And we pick that up in the context that he had run away. And so he was being returned to Philemon. At least we pick that up in the context. We're hard pressed to read every detail. So this is part of your homework where it's only 25 verses and you can read those 25 verses at the break and we can talk about it. I'm pulling your legs here. So essentially the purpose of the book is to ask for forgiveness and acceptance back of a slave that ran away, not just as a slave. In other words, he's not being returned back as a slave now. He's coming back as a brother. If you can just put this in context, if we actually believe that Onesimus was a slave in Colossae, and he ran to Paul. He ran away to meet Paul in Rome because Paul was in prison at this time, we assume. He would have traveled about 1,000 miles. So it wasn't a small feat. There was a yearning on the part of Onesimus. He was not just running away because he wants to be free from his master. He was running away to go find Paul. Why he went to find Paul, we can sort of imagine the scenario. We think there was a familiarity between Philemon and Paul. Not that Paul had been in his house, because the context doesn't suggest that they've been in, he's been in his home, because he says, I would like to come to your house, prepare a place for me. We think they may have met at Ephesus at some point. We think Onesimus was familiar with Paul because he was probably with his master and would have heard Paul preach. And he was fascinated by whatever he heard and wanted some more of that. Risked his life. You have to keep in mind, at the time, history tells us that there were more slaves than freedmen. And it was punishable by death to escape as a slave. In other words, Onesimus took great risk to go find Paul. And so that is the context of this story. We assume that Onesimus finds Paul in prison in Rome and tells him, or they had a fellowship together and maybe made his consecration known to Paul. And they probably prayed together. And now the really tough task of returning was important. He couldn't just walk back into Philemon. He couldn't just find his way back to his master because he was under the pain of death at that point. He had escaped. And nobody would assume that he had any goodwill going back to the master. So it was important. This letter was important. Now, we also think the letter was probably sent along with the letter to the Colossians. There will be debate over that. I'm not going to get into the debate. It's possible both of these letters were carried by Philemon and somebody else back to the Colossians. And so he was in company of some other brethren because he was now a brother. But Philemon, whose slave escaped, doesn't know that back home. And so of necessity, Philemon needed to know. At least Paul felt like he needed to know. And so Paul gives us a sense that he wants Philemon to know why Onesimus should be accepted back, even though as a slave, but also more than a slave. He wasn't asking that he be freed. In fact, that was not in his place to ask, at least from Paul's perspective. And so if you read in the fourth verse, from 4:27, Paul basically gives Philemon a sense of his understanding of his nature and character. It's a setup. It's a setup to say, I know who you are. I know your heart. I'm going to ask you a favor. Now, it's very tactical to do that when we want to ask somebody for something very difficult. There's always a setup where you want to let them know you know where they're coming from. You can appreciate what they have to deal with. But here's what I'm going to ask you. And so 4:27 gives us that sense of a setup. And then in verse 8, it says, therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do that which is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul, the aged, now also a prisoner. Verse 10, I appeal to you for my child, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, Onesimus, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. Now, the name Onesimus actually means helpful. That's what that name means. Now, he was useless to Philemon because he was just a slave and he had escaped and he was probably going to die because he had escaped. But now he's coming back. He's going to be useful, not just to Philemon now, but also to Paul. Why would that be important for Paul to say? Because here was a brother. Here was a brother now. A brother is always useful. And if all the two talks we've heard today, the talks we've heard so far, are any indication, we've come to appreciate that our brotherhood, our fellowship is rich with resources. And that's what Paul sees in this new brother, Onesimus. So Paul, essentially, and we're mindful of time here. So Paul, essentially, knowing that Philemon was capable of love and good works, He greets him with grace and peace, and he reminds Philemon of his capacity for that goodness and love, and pray that he might reach the highest potential of his faith. And what's the highest potential of your faith? It's to forgive somebody else and to give somebody a chance. Paul writes a reference letter for Onesimus, basically. He writes a reference letter to say, go back to your master, and here is a reference letter to take back. He writes in a way that the ask in verse 12, basically in verse 11 is the ask. In verse 12 it says, I have sent him back to you in person, that is sending my very heart. And so he gives quality to it. This is not just a slave that's coming back. I have a lot invested in this. And it struck me that Paul did something here that we have benefited from. Our Lord has written a reference letter for us. And Paul is writing a reference letter for this brother. As we sit here today, we had a reference letter written for us by our Lord that says, I know who this brother is, and we're asking for forgiveness on their behalf. And so we should be ready to do the same for others. And so we were struck by Paul's magnanimity to be able to do this on behalf of Philemon. Checking for time here. So real quickly, let's jump to the lesson since we're running out of time. We hope that what we've set up sort of intrigues you enough that you want to read the book and get more out of it. Paul is straightforward, is matter of fact, is very persuasive. He does not waste words. There are 25 verses, and in 12 of those 25 verses, he does what he needs to do. There's greeting, there's a closing in the book. But 12 verses out of 25 is what he uses very efficiently. He tactfully addressed a very difficult subject. He talks about forgiveness and peacemaking. And he contributes to the service of the body of Christ. Paul invests all of his credibility in this brother, all of his credibility he was willing to stake in this brother. Onesimus ultimately, we hear, became an elder in the Ephesus class. And this is from other references that we saw. I can't state that with certainty. But we believe that the investment paid out ultimately because he was referred to in Colossians 4:9, as we said earlier, as one of you. So he was a brother in that class. We're only gratified to think that Paul's investment in this one brother worked out. It calls on us to invest in our brethren same way. It really talks about strength out of weakness, in essence, and loving our brethren.